Psalm 119. It's a unique psalm. First of all, it's the longest of the psalms. 176 verses. It's unique in its structure. David wrote it as a poem, a hymn poem. It was to be sung, but it was sung, written in a rhyming form, not in the English, but in the Hebrew in which he wrote it. There were 22 sections of this psalm. And it's my understanding that in the way that it was written, each word at the beginning of the verses and the sentences in the psalm began with a particular letter of the Hebrew alphabet. There were only 22 letters in their alphabet. To help us understand that, it would be the same as saying that in the first 8 verses, each verse began with a word that started with the letter A. In the second 8 verses, each of those began with a word that began with the letter B. You begin to see what's happening. You begin to know that God moved David in his writing, because it took a tremendous amount of wisdom and amount of creativity to be able to write this many verses. That all, not only did they rhyme in their poetic form, they also always began with the same verse or letter in the 8 verses of that section. It's very unique in its structure. And yet in all of the structure, there is one particular theme that runs through that psalm. And that theme is basically laid out in the first 3 verses of the psalm. And the longer I thought about those 3 verses and the statements that are in those verses, the deeper my conviction grew in me. Listen to what the writer, and we understand that it was David. David said, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his way." And you see the theme that is laid out in those 3 verses is the idea of obedience to the will, way, and word of the Lord, and the blessings that come from that obedience. Then the writer realizes this: "Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned thy righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly." As always, looking at 8 verses, there's always a number of things that might draw our attention. But I want to ask you today to think with me about the blessedness of the way of the Lord. Father, guide our minds and hearts. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it's your truth. Lord, like the writer of the psalm, our prayer is that we would be directed to keep thy statutes, guided by your Holy Spirit to do so, and that in doing so, we will praise your name. In Jesus' name I beg, and amen. Blessed are the undefiled. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. The word that's translated there as blessed is the word esher. It's interesting that if you go back into the book of Genesis, when Jacob had gotten himself 4 wives, two as the daughters of Laban, and then two as what came to be his wives, as the handmaidens or the servants of those two sisters. And in the course of time, Leah was blessed to have three sons. And then Rachel's got jealous, and she decided, since it didn't look like she could have a child, she would give her handmaiden to Jacob, and she could have kids through her surrogate mother. Well, Leah decided, if she can play that game, I will too. And so she gave the fourth wife. And after those had had children, the Lord blessed Leah again, and she had a fourth son. And his name was Asher. Happy. Blessed. She was blessed in her mind and in her heart that God had given her yet another child. That name, Asher, has always stuck with me for that reason. It means happy. Sometimes it's used as an interjection with a sense of excitement, a sense of urgency. Oh, how happy! And I thought about the words of the old hymn that we have in our hymnal. And it's entitled, Oh, How Happy Are They? Listen to the words of this hymn and then think with me about what the scripture says. Oh, how happy are they? And if you want to look, I'm not sure what it is in the new hymns of grace. In the old one, it was 302. That's where I got this from. But listen to the words. Oh, how happy are they who their Savior obey, and whose treasures are laid up above. Tongue cannot express the sweet comfort of peace of a soul in its earliest love. That sweet comfort was mine when the favor divine I first found in the blood of the Lamb. When my heart first believed, oh, what joy I received. What a heaven in Jesus' name. Oh, the rapturous height of that holy delight which I felt in the life-giving blood of my Savior possessed, I was perfectly blessed, overwhelmed in the fullness of God. Now, my remnant of days would I spend in His praise, who hath died my poor soul to redeem, whether many or few. All my years are His due. May they all be devoted to Him. Now, brothers and sisters, I want you to notice as we begin, I want you to notice that interjection concept of the way that the writer of that song, it's the way I understand David began this song. Oh, how blessed are they. Oh, how blessed are the undefiled in the way. Those who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with a whole heart. There are four phrases that could be broken down, but they're linked together in a pair. Oh, blessed are the undefiled in the way. Unspotted, unsullied. The idea of being undefiled. How many of us like, now this is a very simple way, but it's very accurate in its picture. How many of us as small children, when we walked along the way and it might have rained, we looked for a way to go through the mud puddle? Sometimes when we went through the mud puddle, we didn't walk gently. We stomped through. We jumped through. And when we came out the other side, We were spotted with mud. Mama might not have been real happy. But we had a ball doing it, didn't we? But the idea of this passage is the idea of being undefiled literally means being unspotted. Unspotted by the spots of disobedience in our nature. Unmarked before the Lord. Walking in faithfulness. I know we're all sinners. But thank God for the righteousness of Jesus Christ that's counted to us, that He sees in us rather than just all the spots. But you see, it's the idea of being clean in our behavior before the Lord. Committing ourselves, rather than to have fun jumping in the mud puddle of this world, I'm going to strive to keep myself clean before God. How do I do that? I walk in the law of the Lord. They that keep His testimony, His word. I keep His word. His word testifies of His righteousness, of His will, of His command, and of His purpose in our life. They're His testimonies to us. And I keep His testimony. You see, David writes of this man who walks in obedience. Oh, how happy are they who their Savior obey. Whose treasures are laid up above. Paul said we were to set our affections, our desires, our purposes on things above. We're blessed. David started the whole book of Psalms, and I would ask you to turn back with me for a moment to Psalm 1. And I want you to notice the first two verses of the first Psalm. And notice the parallel with the first two verses of Psalm 119. The first song in the book and the longest song in the book. How'd you like to sing 22 stanzas of a hymn? And remember when I was a boy growing up and we'd sing all the stanzas of Amazing Grace, and there were seven of them, and I thought that hymn never would end. As much as I've come to love it and desire it and want to sing it all now. There were 22 stanzas of this hymn. I want you to notice from the first book and the longest book, I want you to notice the parallel of David's beginning. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. Blessed is the man who walks not among the sinful and scornful of this world, those who are against God, but he walks in the way of the Lord. Blessed are the undefiled. Blessed are they that walk. I got to thinking about that concept of being blessed. God gives us great blessing. And generally, in our culture and in our human way of thinking, when we talk about God giving us some blessing, we think about what we get. We think about what I somehow gain. If I'm good enough, if I walk close enough, if I do this, then God's going to give me a blessing. You see, it becomes a merit system in our minds very often. When I was in my high school band, we had a merit-demerit system. If you earned 500 merits for specified things over the course of a year, you were given a letter to wear on a jacket, and everybody in school knew that you had a band letter. We know it with football teams the same way, basketball team. I wasn't very athletic, but I did love music, so I got the band letter. If you got 100 demerits before you got 500 merits and you didn't work them off, then you got kicked out. You see, you had to earn. Folks, that's the way we often think about these blessings that God gives us, but I want to tell you something. While that's often the way, that's not the height of the way we ought to be thinking about it. What is the greatest blessing when we walk with the Lord? Sister Carla, when you pick out that last hymn, you might look up that word, that hymn, Trust and Obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. Is the blessing so much about what He gives us? Or the glorious thought that by walking in His way, walking in His path, walking according to His instruction, by walking with Him, we are with Him. And I'll tell you, folks, that's the most glorious thing about that blessing. Not that He gives us this or gives us that, but that He's with us and we are with Him. If you go back over into the third chapter of the book of Genesis, I won't turn and read the whole passage. But most everybody knows, right, quickly, that that third chapter of Genesis is where Eve and Adam messed up. And it's cost us ever since. But in the midst of that sordid reality and all the difficulty, including death, that has come from it, there was one other thing that is mentioned in one of the verses. If you look in Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 through 9, after they had eaten what they were forbidden to eat, Bible tells us that they attempted to make for themselves some clothing of fig leaves because they recognized themselves to be exposed, to be naked before the Lord. And the voice of the Lord came in the cool of the evening. In the afternoon, in the pleasantness of that afternoon, God walked with men. And we're not told how many days it was. We're not told how many months or years transpired. It's really unimportant. It is true that they were given this place in which to live, and they were given certain things to care for, but they were given great blessing. And how high up that list of blessing must it have been for the simple fact that in the cool of the evening, they walked with God. Folks, the great blessing that we have in obedience to the Lord is not something that we can get. God's laws are not some stringent, spiteful set of regulations and restrictions that just won't work for me because I can't keep them. It's not about you and me keeping them. It's about God being righteous and wise in what He tells us. That's why Jesus came. None of us could keep them. He came to keep them for us, and His righteousness is applied to me. But my sin is what separates me from God. Christ's righteousness is what, again, allows me to walk with God. You see, walking with God is the height of blessing. Walking in obedience, walking in God's command, is not a struggling life. It's the most blessed life we can have because we walk with God. What a joy. And then he stops and he thinks in those next two verses, Lord, you've commanded us to keep your... Oh, that my life might be directed to do that. Why? Because David understood that in his own sinful nature, he was prone not to. Oh, that I could make myself do so. I can't. Lord, direct my ways. It's not about me failing and getting slapped by God. It's not about me failing and not earning enough merits to have. It's not about me proving myself to God. It's about walking in the presence of God through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Lord, direct my steps. Lord, direct my thoughts. Oh Lord, teach me. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. I will keep thy statutes. John, the elder statesman of the first century church, John, the only of the apostles that lived to die a natural death, wrote in 1 John chapter 3 this reminder that God's commands are not grievous. Look in 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. I knew there was a 3 in there. 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. Look what he said. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Not can be or not might be. But if you have a faith to believe that Jesus is the promised Messiah, God come in the flesh, it is because you have a spiritual birth that has taken place to open your eyes to see what the world and the nature of sin cannot see. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that beget, that is God, loveth him also that is begotten, Jesus. And then through that, those whom Jesus has begotten by the regenerative work of his Holy Spirit, his children. But notice what he says. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And if you are prone to mark and highlight your scriptures, then notice this last expression. That we keep his commandments. That's how we say that we love God. I can say it and not do it, then I'm lying. If I love God, I will keep his commandments. I will strive to walk uprightly. I will strive not to become spotted by the mud hole of this world. I will strive not to allow myself to be separated from him by uncleanness. I can't do that. Oh, but listen, his commandments are not grievous. God's way is not grievous. God's way is blessed. You see, our blessed life is our walking in the way of the Lord's direction. We're praying for a time of reviving. You know what we need to revive is our awareness of ourselves in God's presence. It may not be some tangible, measurable thing. Oh, he's given me this much money. He's given me this much possession. He's added this or he's added that. But let me tell you something. If we stand in the presence of God like Adam walked with God, if we walk through Jesus Christ with God and draw nearer to him, that's the greatest blessing that we can ever have in this world, is to be with God. We say that's what we want to go to heaven for. We want to spend eternity with God. Thanks be unto God that he's provided the way right now, today, in this world, that through Jesus Christ and obedience by faith, we can walk in his way. Blessed is the man that's undefiled, that walks in the way of the Lord. Blessed is the man who keepeth himself unspotted from the world. Isn't that what John also said? Pure religion and undefiled is this, that he helps and keeps the fatherless and the widows, and that he keeps himself unspotted from the world. That I don't wear around the world mud spots. I repent. I fail. That's what the spirit of repentance is for, to keep me from just joyfully stomping around in the mud and making myself spotted and a word that don't exist. Spottier and spottier. Piling them one on top of another just because I can. But rather to realize that by doing what God commands me, walking in His way, that I am blessed. Hebrews chapter 10. Close with this passage of Scripture. Verses 19 through 23. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, into the presence of God, to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that's to say His flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, that's Jesus Himself. He ends the fourth chapter. It says, we have a high priest that's entered into heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Well, I can't. Yes, you can, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. To walk with God and to consider one another through the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, we can't walk before God by ourselves, but I can in Christ, because Christ did always those things that pleased the Father. Follow me, He said. Oh, how happy are they who their Savior obey. And then He closes that hymn, and I would tell you that this is a way that I open the doors of the church to you today. Now my remnant of days, from this day forward, would I spend in His praise, who hath died my poor soul to redeem, whether many or few. All my years are His due. He bought them. They're due unto Him. May they all be devoted to Him. Folks, the greatest blessing we're ever given is the privilege and blessing of walking in God's presence. A season of revival, it's not, oh, we'd love to see people added in the church and come home in the church, but it's not just about that. We'd like to see a house full, but it's not just about that. It is the blessing that we have of knowing that we stand in the presence of the living God. May our blessing be rich, is my prayer for Christ's sake.